I've been playing outdoors since I was a kid, standing by the front door at around 2 years old, hollering, "Side, side," trying to get my mom to let me go play outside. Now, after 30-plus years working in the outdoor business, I'm dropping insider conversations every week with brand leaders, guides, marketers, CEOs, and others that make the outdoor business a trillion-dollar juggernaut that drives product innovation, revenue, and public policy for everything outdoors. I'm Rick Sayes. Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Fish Nerds. It's the latest on fish, fishing, and eating fish that's always interesting, usually funny, and mostly true. I am Dave.
And I'm Clay. And anything is fair game. It's a good bet that we get thrown out of this bar before we're done recording this podcast. We're hanging out at Margaritas tonight. We're drinking margaritas.
Yes.
After fishing today. And we didn't ask for permission to record, but we're here together for the first time ever. And we thought, while we're here, let's make a show.
No, don't eat chips. It's too loud.
Yeah, too loud and spicy.
Yeah, really spicy.
So if we sound whispery, it's because we are.
Right, because we're at a bar trying to not draw attention.
We came in thinking we'd have this great Mexican music playing in the background. And then we got to the bar, and in the bar here, they don't play Mexican music anymore.
No. And so we can't be responsible for any of the copyright violations that happen.
That's right. But Dave did drink most of a margarita at a fancy restaurant, whose name sounds a lot like Margarita.
It is Margarita.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I wasn't going to say where we were at.
I see what you're saying. No, I'm talking about music violations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not our fault. That's
not our fault. This is a public place, and this is public happening, and whatever. Don't sue us.
I get the Red Sox playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I hope that they get a touchdown.
So we went out fishing. We went out fishing today.
We did. We fished for a striped bass today.
I know, and we were at the Squamscott River. It should have worked.
It didn't work.
It's one of those things that really should have worked.
Well, why didn't it work?
I think it was probably the water was too warm.
Yeah, it's just, I think that the moon was in Libis, Gibbous moon. I think it's why it didn't work.
I think you're right. And, you know, the Mayan calendar, if it was in existence, because it already stopped.
That's right.
It would have shown that it was a problem.
It would have been a no pescadero day.
It would have been no pescadero day.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were throwing paddle-tailed jigs, which should have worked because I was out 2 or 3 days ago with master angler Tim Moore.
He's amazing.
He is amazing. We were throwing these big hoagie jigs, paddle tail jigs.
Hoagies is in New Jersey, the sandwich. So the hoagie makes sense because that's what the fish are going to want to eat.
Yeah, that's right. You're throwing these big sandwiches. And these were squid colored sandwiches. And
what color is a squid?
You know, it's interesting. Squid change color so much. And these things were like these weird neon crazy colors. And I asked, it was like neon purple. And I asked him, I said, you know, why, how does this work? And he says, oh, it imitates squid. And do you know squid communicate through the color of their skin?
Now, interesting. I have no idea about that.
Yes.
And, you know, remember we learned last week that octopuses are colorblind.
Right.
Squid must not be.
Well, I don't know.
Let's add this to our list because we're going to have an cephalopod expert come on shortly on the show within the next few weeks.
Oh.
Let's this on our question list.
Remember that.
Yeah. But no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they will flash during, like, you know, spawning. When they encounter each other, their skin actually flashes kind of thing. And you ate a chip.
I ate a chip.
But anyway, and when you catch them, they turn bright red, you know? And so this color of the jigs must be the color of them going, shit.
Oh, that's awesome. The color of shit, but not brown.
No. The color of, oh my God, a striper is going to eat me.
Fantastic. So how did fishing trip with Tim go?
Excellent, excellent. He, you know, he knew exactly where to go. And he's like, let's try here, 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 here. And we caught fish almost every spot if you stopped.
Yeah, I've been fishing with Tim tons of times. Never regret it. And I think if you're going to go out fishing, especially like striped bass fishing, and you're not familiar with it, hire a guide like Tim. You know, whatever it costs, you're going to catch a ton of fish.
Yeah.
And if you don't like not catching fish, then if you don't like not catching fish, then hire a guide. No,
yeah,
is that right?
I think I followed that.
If you like catching fish, wait.
No.
I don't know how to say
it. If you like not catching fish.
Oh, if you like not catching fish by yourself with no one to show you.
Right.
Otherwise, hire a guide.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even if you're good at fishing.
Right.
Because we got skunked today because I didn't hire anybody. I trusted you.
That was your first mistake.
Damn. It happens a lot.
It does happen a lot. Sorry about that. But anyway, you know, I think the biggest one was 26. We didn't quite get a keeper size, but there was one after another at times.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to go wrong. You've been fishing a lot lately.
I'm back to my summer job, which is working at a summer camp, and this is great. So it used to be, 2 years ago I did this job, and I floated on a pontoon boat for three calm periods a day, like 3 hours a day, and then I'd have lunch, a nap, and then in the afternoon I would do like other kind of educational programming. Mm-hmm. This year I invented a new program called Advanced Fishing.
Oh.
So now it's, I fish all morning, and then I have people who are good at fishing in the afternoon, and we go out fishing for the big fish. And we've been having such a good time, because when in the afternoon when I go out, it's all these teenagers who know how to catch fish,
yeah.
And I don't need to show them stuff. So
perfect.
I just park the boat where the fish live, and we catch fish.
So it's basically like, you know, fishing partners. Yeah,
it's just, and then they give me money. Mm. And my kids get to go to summer camp.
That's awesome.
We've been catching massive bass, huge chain pickerel, and then dozens and dozens of white perch.
Wow.
Which I still think white perch are the best freshwater fish to catch, because when you get in them, you're in them. I mean, it's just such a blast.
You know?
And the pumpkin seeds we catch. We don't catch a lot of them, but they're monstrous. 10 inches, easy.
Well, you're on the hunt for a state record, right?
I want to take Mark Beauchesne, that's New Hampshire Fish and Game officer, education guy, whatever. I want to take his record from him. Mm. So that's my goal every summer, is to catch a bigger pumpkin seed than Mark. So it's...
That sounds like a title of a book. Bigger than Mark.
Bigger than Mark. My pumpkin seed is bigger than your pumpkin seed.
Not a very popular book, but it's a book.
Yeah. But it's really cool. So, and every year they put little girls in the boat who don't speak English. Remember, 2 years ago we had a Chinese girl from French Quebec who only spoke French.
Yep.
And she would just yell, "I am fish," when she catches a fish. "I am fish." So now I've got a young Mexican girl on the boat, hence Mexican restaurant. And when she catches a fish, she catches them a lot, she just throws the pole and screams. So what I do is I grab her and I scream with her, and I have a camp counselor who picks her right up and catches the fish. So I just hug her and scream, "Ah, yeah, 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 yeah." So that's our new thing, is screaming a lot. And I think fishing with a bunch of kids, the more you're screaming, the better.
That's true.
Not screaming at them, just screaming.
Screaming with them.
And we fish rain or shine. So we were out there once last week fishing, and it was pouring down like monsoon rain. And the kids on the boat, you know, I were out there fishing, just screaming at the weather, having a great time. So, anyway, that's summer camp.
I like that idea of a t-shirt. You know, I'm not screaming at you, I'm screaming with you.
Right. It's like laughing at you, laughing with you. Yeah. It's better to scream together than scream at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very
perfect.
Good. All right. So I think that catches up everybody on our fishing excursions.
Yeah.
Let's get on with the show.
So.
Tim Moore, a guide here in the New Hampshire Seacoast area, really all across New Hampshire, has been a great friend of the Fish Nerds, and he took me out fishing. It was really exciting out on the Piscataqua River, and I asked him, how has the fishing been lately?
Every day has been better than the next. So there's you know, bigger fish moving in. This year we've had, I think they're calling it the 2011 year class, I'm not sure, but tons of micro striped bass, 12 to 15 inch fish. When I say tons, I mean you can catch them any time of day, any tide, anywhere. They're everywhere. And when they move into an area, it's almost like they're keeping some of the bigger fish out. But now we've had so many of the larger sized fish starting to move in that it's kind of, things are kind of equalizing, I think. Because the last few days, we've just had a bunch of mid-20-inch to some 30-inch-plus fish show up. It's been fun. We're going to catch a ton of fish. The tide's about to turn. We've got light wind and overcast skies, which is typically the sun drives the fish deep, and that's going to keep the fish on the surface. And it's just, yesterday was the same way. I sat in my living room drinking coffee, and I thought, it's raining, I don't really know if I want to go. And the second thought was, but the fish are probably going to feed all day, they're going to take advantage of the overcast guys, so you should probably go. So I came out, it was, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'm an early morning kind of guy. I like to fish first light. And I got out, and it was just like now. It was kind of slow water, not much tide, not much going on. We'd catch a few of those micros right now if we were fishing. And then all of a sudden, just when I was like, I don't know if it's going to happen today, I looked over, and I saw a couple of birds flying around in one area looking, and I see splashes, and then all of a sudden it was just like somebody turned the washing machine on. And 3 hours later, I ran out of lures. I'd gone through all the plastics that I had with me and caught 4 keeper-sized fish and a ton of mid-20-inch fish. And it just never stopped. It was like they'd bust on bait, the bait would scatter, and they'd corral the bait again and come up on the surface again, you know, 20 minutes later, and all you do is sit and wait. We're going to throw paddle-tail shads. Mm. Pretty much, just about any paddle-tail shad on the market is going to catch fish. Some are better than others. I like the softer, the better. The trouble with the really soft ones is the fish tear them up really quick, so you go through a lot of them, and they get expensive, the really soft plastics. 6-inch paddle-tail shads, half-ounce jig heads on them, and we're just going to cast and retrieve or just rip and drop. And that's the rip and drop seems to work better. They hit it on the drop, and you rip it, and just let it fall like a wounded bait fish. That does the best. Feel a bump, set the hook, reel it in, repeat. They're on squid right now, so these ones seem to work all the time. White, I do really well with white. Storm makes the 6-inch wildlife swim shad. That was my go-to for a long time because they're pre-weighted.
Yeah, they're awesome.
They work great. These ones are a little bit softer. And you can change them out when they get beat up. You can use the same head over and over again. So you save that, but it's just much easier to just grab another body, throw another body on there. Plus these ones, when they get beat up, you just bite an inch off, hook it back on there again, and you get a couple more fish out of it.
You can always tell a real angler because they don't change out the plastics. They just bite a chunk of it off, spit it on the ground, and start fishing again. Tim Moore is one of those real anglers. If you want to go out fishing with Tim Moore, go online to timmooreoutdoors.com. All the information's there. Or give him a call at 603-842-3572. I think he's out there right now, actually.
The doctor is in. Dr. Erica Martin's with us.
Hey!
How you been?
I have been awesome and busy because I took vacation, but then I came back to work since the last time we recorded.
Oh, I know. That's the tough thing about vacations is that you have to come back.
Yeah, well, it's not all bad since I do like my job at least, but it's kind of like, you know, playing guitar and hanging out on the lake all day and then come back and sit in my office and do a lot of writing. It's a little bit different.
You're like a bohemian scientist. I love it. So I thought of you because, do you know, I saw some real science recently.
Ooh, real science.
Yes, and it was amazing that alien DNA has been found in octopuses.
that is literally amazing.
Unbelievable, in fact.
Unbelievable, in fact. Yes, that is sadly very correct.
Well, no, so, you know, there's some very reputable kind of posts that say...
Well, okay. So here's the deal.
Yes.
It's the actual science behind it. I saw the little clickbait thing on the Facebook,
yes.
You know, and it's got this amazing, unbelievable, blah, 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 alien DNA and octopuses. Or octopus. Octopuses, that's correct. Not
yes.
Octopi, which is... Surprising.
That is surprising, although Clay goes out of his way to correct people because he knows something on that. And so,
also, it's really fun to say.
It is. I don't get it. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so I actually didn't click on the article at first because, well, I read that and I'm like, this is nope. I just was like, there's no way. This is so wrong. So I went into Google Scholar, which is a subdirected thing of Google that only shows you basically peer-reviewed science stuff.
Smart right? people stuff, yeah.
or patient people stuff.
Right.
Go through digging. But so I found the actual article, of course, that this little clickbait thing was talking about. And I read the article and it's like, a little bit over my head since I'm not, you know, a geneticist or molecular biologist by any means. Mm-hmm. But I understood enough of it to be like, well, I mean, first of all, the octopuses still have DNA, right? So, like, the same base pairs and stuff that we have, all living things on Earth.
Right.
So that's red flag number one. It's just like, if it's already all here, though, like, I thought maybe the octopuses came down from an asteroid that hit Earth, like, way back. We didn't even know. No, that's also not the case.
Oh, okay.
But it turns out that their DNA just does some really cool things that we can't explain yet. And saying that it's something that is really cool or we don't understand, scientists are baffled. So scientists are baffled. They can't explain it. It's alien. Well, it's not alien. If you want to be loose with the term, okay, alien is in something we don't understand.
Oh.
Fine. I can dig that. But if you're writing the piece, I'm sorry, media people or journalists, if this is what you do, but if you're writing the piece, you know what alien means to people that are reading it. Don't try to act like you didn't do that on purpose.
Yeah, I know. And, what? Us? What?
Yeah, okay. You know exactly what you did.
Right.
And, you know, and it's funny to, like, you know, people that know better, you can read that and be roll your eyes and go, oh, God, something's blown out of proportion. But, you know, most people, like scientists or people like most of the fans and you guys that are into fish and aquatics and things like that, that happen to know a little bit more than the average bear about this particular set of aquatic related things, mm-hmm. you can roll your eyes. You know that. You're like, oh, of course that's ridiculous. But, you know, what if they did something in physics? I'm not a physicist yet. But
right.
You know, but it's like when it's something that might be a little bit more out of my comfort zone that I have to rely on things to read. So I wouldn't be able to just roll my eyes at gravitational waves or something like that.
Oh,
you know?
Don't get me started on gravitational waves. Oh, my God.
They're freaking awesome.
Yeah,
but anyway, so I think it's just really does a disservice to just everybody when you're blatantly tricking people that just don't understand that it's not really alien, outer space alien.
Well, that's true. And then I think also by connection, a lot of people have a distrust of scientists.
Mm-hmm.
Because all they see is this study says this, and then a week later, this study says the opposite. I'm a big fan of, you know, coffee is proven to increase your, I don't know, increase whatever you want to increase. You can find a story about that. So I think not only does it do a disservice to the actual information, but yes. it's given you scientists. I mean, you guys, you don't have your story straight.
We don't know anything. So, sorry. But that's literally, like, seriously, if it was up to just the media and the press and stuff, we really don't know. Because butter's good for us, butter's not good for us, fat-free, you should eat real fat. I mean, diet stuff is really a lot of the stuff people want to hear about. And it's, this is good. Oh, God, cancer. You know, it's always like that. And you're right. You can find a study that says coffee is beneficial or coffee is not beneficial. However, mm-hmm. when the media presents that, that's literally about all you get. Scientist A did a study and they found that coffee increases your intelligence by 2% if you drink one cup every day.
Ah, see, well, that's why I'm so smart.
And I should be really smart because I drink like so many cups of coffee. But what they fail almost essentially every single time is a lot of those studies aren't done on people, first of all. Mm. They're done on like mice or even cell cultures or other animals that are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
What's the sample size? I mean, are we talking, did they just look at a couple mice, or did they do several hundred? I mean, have they looked at this in people at all? What were they really testing for? Were they actually looking to see if it would increase or decrease intelligence, or were they looking at how it changed behavior or socialization or food habits or something like that? But intelligence happened to be one of the other variables that might not necessarily have been the real variable that the scientists were studying, and that happens so much. So you're right, coffee is good for you and coffee's bad for you. Well, coffee's really good for mice and coffee's really bad for cockroaches. I mean, that's totally different.
It is. And comparability is an issue too, because because clearly a little mouse hand and a little mouse coffee cup is a lot smaller than a coffee cup that I would hold, right? So a mouse eating or drinking 2 or 3 cups a day is like nothing.
if you drink mouse sized cups of coffee, you're probably fine.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they would have little sayings on them, like, you know, cats suck and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And I think, but I want to be really careful, because just because it's done in a mouse and not a person doesn't make it irrelevant. It doesn't mean it's meaningless. It doesn't mean that it can't be possible. But it means that we're finding something and we're headed in a direction. You know, because, I mean, you can't know what you don't know. Like, that's just how life works. And to say that, oh, well, this study disproved another study in the media is usually just total lack of understanding of what truly has gone on in either study, typically.
Yeah.
One more thing. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's go, like it's go.
So I don't remember. I think Al Roker, is that the morning edition, morning show?
He's a person. He's a weatherman that was on.
The weatherman.
Yeah, Good Morning America, yes.
Thank you. Good Morning America. And they were doing this. They had this conversation. And if you guys are wanting to, you can probably look up the clip on YouTube. And they were talking about, oh, how this is good for you and this is bad for you. And science can't make up its mind, which, whatever. But his solution to that was, and I'm trying not to curse here, but to say, just pick the scientific article that you like best and go with that. And I just want to bang my head on my desk. And it's like, that is not how science works. Then if you do that, just go back to when science papers were first started in, what, the 1800s. Pick one of those and do all of your fisheries science based on that. See how that works out for you.
Well, you know, the fact that eels arise from muddy puddles of water that horsehair has fallen into, that was a study, I'm sure, at some point.
Just plant your horsehair, see how many eels you get.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, drives you crazy.
It does. And the thing, it really does drive me crazy. So one of the first news articles that was ever printed about me kind of doing something, because I come from a small town and, you know, going, doing research and getting my PhD was kind of cool. And so there was a little bit of a news blurb about me at some point. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, they called me on the phone to do a little interview and they asked me what I did and what my research was and what I wanted to do, blah, 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 and how I got here. And so I explained, you know, I'm a freshwater biologist, like freshwater fish.
Yeah.
Like that's what I do. And I shit you not, in the article, it said I was so lucky to be studying marine fish in a landlocked state.
Really?
Yep. And it happens every time. Like, I know a little bit about marine fishes, but that's not my specialty by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, right.
But I'm pretty sure that's what everyone thinks that I do. And I'm just really, really lucky to be studying marine animals in Kansas, I guess.
Well, yeah, you know, everybody wants to be a marine biologist. When they hear biology, they just think of whales and marine biologists. They probably think you're always in a wetsuit feeding mackerel to, you know, orca.
Probably, that's, yes. Yeah. That, or I get, oh, it must be nice to go fishing all day. And I was like, well, it would be, but that's not at all what I do.
So. Oh, Doc. Well, we're here to set the record straight with the Doctors In segment. So I like these segments where you just kind of, you know, get stuff off your chest. You know, you're like, oh, this really does me crazy.
Yeah. Well, I try to be nice because it's like, it's one of those things. It's a preventable error. People just don't bother to prevent, I guess. I don't know why. So,
well, we will do our part to prevent that preventable error. So, Doc, as always, what a pleasure to talk with you.
I hope so. I was a little angry over here, so I'll try and cool it down for the next one.
You're like, kids, instead of, get off my lawn!
Instead of the doctor it is in, the doctor is upset.
All right, so is that the show?
Yeah, we need to wrap this thing up, man.
Gosh, I guess that is the show. All right. So,
That's it.
That's it. You've listened to a couple of nerds in Margarita's Bar when you really should have been fishing.
Yeah, we'd like to thank our families for supporting us while we podcast, go on fishing quests, and drink margaritas, and do all sorts of silly things that middle-aged guys do. If you... Am I skipping my beat here?
No, you're doing good.
If you would like to support the Fish Nerds, you can go to patreon.com/fishnerds and give us a dollar. I mean, really, you know, we really do need your dollar now. We are running out of Fish Nerds money.
Of Fish Nerds money. Special thanks to Tim Moore, too, for being just an awesome fish guy.
Yeah, it's timmooreoutdoors.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you ought to hire him because he's smart.
And fly him wherever you are in the world.
Oh, that would be great.
When you have a traveling fishing guide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, and actually, better, you should send him like a gift to somebody.
Oh.
So you can just sort of package up Tim Moore.
Like when you hire like a singer to give you a telegram. It could be like the fishing telegram.
Right. The fishing guide.
Hello, telegram. My honey. Hello, my darling. We're going fishing.
He would be great at that.
He would love that. He's got that kind of personality. He loves singing. Whenever I fish with him, that's what I find out. He just sings all the time.
Show tunes.
Mostly show tunes and opera. That's right.
That's right. And then also special thanks to the doctor, Dr. Erica Martin, who is particularly feisty this week.
She's all fired up.
She is all fired
up. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. We're going to try to get her more fired up in the future here. So.
Until next time, follow the code of the fish nerd, spawn early and often.
Avoid free lunches with strings attached.
And swim against the current every chance you get.